ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवद्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। So this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 26, Description of Hellish Planets, Text number 7 to 10. So it's a long, big prose. So it cannot be on the board, so I can simply read. And let me know if there's any mistakes there.
We had a guest today.
What we had?
We had this study yesterday.
I didn't hear that.
We had it yesterday. This was done yesterday.
Seven? Seven was done?
Yes.
Okay. So I should start with eight? Yeah? Eight. Okay, we'll go with eight. Okay, text number 8. Thank you very much. So, we are out of hell now. At least the list of the hell. Okay. So, text 8. Tatrayastu paravitya patya kalatra. Tatrayastu paravitya patya kalatrani aparati. Shahi kala pasavaddo yama purushai. अतिभयानकस्तामेश्रेय नरके बला निपात्यते अनसनानुदपानदण्डताडन सन्तर्जनादिभिर्यातनाभिर्यात्यमानो जन्तुर् यत्र कष्मलमासादित एकदैव मूर्छामुपयाति तामिश्रप्राये। एण्ड् द ट्रान्स्लेशन्। माय डियर् किङ्ग्, अ पर्सन् who appropriates another's legitimate wife, children, or money is arrested at the time of death by the fierce Yamadutas, who bind him with the rope of time and forcibly throw him into the hellish planet known as Tamisra. On this very dark planet, the sinful man is chastised by the Yamadutas, who beat and rebuke him. He is starved and he is given no water to drink. Thus the wrathful assistants of Yamaraja cause him severe suffering, and sometimes he faints from their chastisement. And now text 9. So this is the first hell out of the list. Tamisra means very dark. And there's another Tamisra also, much more darker than that. And the problem is that it's dark and you don't know who is coming. All kinds of creatures come and torture you in the dark. Text 9. Evameva andatamisra yastu vanchayitva purusham daradin upayungte यत्र शरीरे निपात्य मानो यातनास्तु वेदनया नष्टमतिर् नष्टदृष्टिश्च भवति यथा वनस्पतिर्विश्यमानमूलस्तस्मात् अन्धतामिश्रं तम् उपदिशन्ति। Translation: the destination of a person who slyly cheats another man and enjoys his wife and children is the hell known as Andhatamisra. There his condition is exactly like that of a tree being chopped at its roots. Even before reaching Antatamisra, the sinful living being is subjected to various extreme miseries. These afflictions are so severe that he loses his intelligence and sight. It is for this reason that learned sages call this hell Antatamisra. Even before you get there, before one gets there, not you, before one gets there, he already losing his sight and consciousness. Just like you, it's above the tree with from the root. It's all together in the ground. Like that, the sinful person is given different kind of chastisement and punishments. Because this is the yatana bhumaya, as this says in text 7. These all lands are the hellish departments, planets, are the yatana bhumaya, where a sinful living being is chastised or punished up to death. But he doesn't die though. That's the problem. So that he can remember, he can remember what he have done, and try to make some solution for that. Now text number 10. Yastvi hava etad ahamiti mamedamiti bhutadrohena kevalam sakutumbam eva anudinam prapushnati satadiha vihaya svayam eva tad ashubhena raurave nipatati. Okay, so let's do the synonyms and translation proposal on this one. Yaha, one who, two, but, iha, in this life, va, or, etat, this body, aham, I, iti, thus, mama, mine, idam, this. Iti, thus, bhuta drohena, by envy of other living entities, kevalam, alone, sakutumbam, his family members, eva, only, anudinam, day by day, prapushnati, supports, saha, such a person, tat, that, iha, here, vihaya, giving up, swayam, personally, eva, certainly, tat, of that, asubhena, by the sin, raurave, in raurava, nipatati, he falls down. So the first purpose and translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. A person who accepts his body as his self, works very hard day and night for money to maintain his own body and the bodies of his wife and children. While working to maintain himself and his family, he may commit violence against other living entities. Such a person is forced to give up his body and his family at the time of death, when he suffers the reactions for his envy of other creatures by being thrown into the hell called Raurava. Please repeat with me. A person who accepts his body as his self, works very hard day and night for money, to maintain his own body and the bodies of his wife and children. While working to maintain himself and his family, he may commit violence against other living entities. Such a person is forced to give up his body and his family at the time of death, when he suffers the reaction of his envy of other creatures by being thrown into the hell called Raurava. Okay. The purport in Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Yashyatma buddhi kunapeti dhatuke swadhi kalatradi shubhomayajadhi yattirtha buddhi salilena karhichid janesha vigyeshu saeva gokharah. One who accepts his body, this bodily bag of three elements. The three elements is bile, mucus, and air. As himself, who has an affinity for an intimate relationship with his wife and children, who considers his land worshipable, who takes bath in the waters of holy places or pilgrimage, but never takes advantage of those persons who are in actual knowledge, he is no better than an ass or a cow. This is from Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 84:13. There are two classes of men observed in a material concept of life. Out of ignorance, a man in the first class thinks his body to be his self, and therefore he is certainly like an animal. Saeva gokara. The person in second class, however, not only thinks his material body to be himself, but also commits all kinds of sinful activities to maintain his body. He cheats everyone to acquire money for his family and himself, and he becomes envious of others without reason. Such a person is thrown into the hell known as Raurava. If one simply considers his body to be his self, as do the animals, he is not very sinful. However, if one needlessly commits sins to maintain his body, he is put into the hell known as Raurava. This is the opinion of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Although animals are certainly in the bodily concept of life, they do not commit any sins to maintain their bodies, mates, or offspring. Therefore, animals do not go to hell. However, when a human being acts enviously and cheats others to maintain his body, he is put into the hellish condition. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So the text here, text number 10, so one who is in the bodily concept of life, this is me, this body is myself, and whatever belongs to this body, whatever connected to this body is mine. In one sense it's okay, you have to recognize that way. I was recently starting a class in Girls Gurukul, and I started with the same word, aham and mama. Otherwise, how we recognize ourselves? You know, aham means I, you know. I am a student. My name is such and such. Right? I am a student. I am a teacher. My name is such and such. Aham and mama, that's where it starts. If we give up that, then we can't really move on. So I and mine. Everything belongs to this. And everything goes on with this thing, two words, I and my. Aham, so from aham it becomes ahankara. Ahankara means false ego. Aham, I am such and such and so, you know, I am so and so, I am so great, you know. I'm so great and I'm so scholar, big scholar, and I have so many degrees and this and that. I got, you know, so many things. And my, then, you know, the result of I is mine. You know, my wife, my children, my house, my bank balance, my country, and my this and my that, my car, of course. So ahamkara and mamakara, it says here. Ahamiti, mamedamiti, and that much is all right. You know, if one can have this much and you know, obtain your life in Krishna consciousness, that's fine. But being blind of spiritual knowledge, one becomes envious of other living entities, other living creatures. Other innocent living creatures. And to maintain his body, not only maintain, actually, is just that gratifying senses. To gratify his senses, he will kill other, you know, other living creatures, other innocent creatures, without reason, Srila Prabhupada says here. With no reason. Look at this, today is what? Today is the festivity of what? Durga Puja! Oh my God! Look at this. Durga Puja, all over the country you can see Durga Puja. It's a big, big, you know, bamboo altars are made. You know, fantastic altars are made. And Durga is established and then being worshipped last, you know, 7 days and 2 more days. It's Navadurga is called. So 9 days they worship Durga. So, it is possible that by the mercy of Durga, many people get their desire fulfilled.
Can I say something?
Yes, Madhu.
Actually, this is Mother Saraswati. These last 3 days, they worship Mother Saraswati.
Yeah. Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, and Mahasaraswati, they three have...
Now these 3 last 4 days is for Mother Saraswati.
They have turned, right? They have turned. Anyway, so in the name of Durga Puja, so many things goes on. And the faithful worshippers of Durga may achieve their desired goal, desired material benefits. Yes? Yes?
Mother Saraswati is the mother of Narada Muni.
Yes, Mother Narada Muni. Very good. Thank you. And what I'm saying is, they achieve the desired objects in material world, not the mukti though. I mean, it is mentioned that mukti is also achieved, but in the words of Lord Shiva, you can see that mukti data Vishnu Revana Samse. Without, except Lord Vishnu, nobody else can give you mukti. So mukti is not there. So what is there? Dharma, artha, kam, basically. Three purusharthas you can attain by worshipping demigods. So, and in many places you can see also in the name of the puja of the Durga, they will kill many creatures. Maybe not in South India, but in Bengal, you can see also in Nepal, thousands of living creatures being killed. So what happens? It is not that Durga Devi really requires that, you know, sacrifice, you know, the animal sacrifice. It is not that Durga Devi is being pleased by offering that. So what happens after all this, the animals are sacrificed, they eat themselves. They eat all that, all those living entities. So it is not that in our country, you know, in Bharatvarsha, there is a lack of grains. everybody can sustain when growing. But simply the, to satisfy the taste of their tongue, they are killing the animals in the name of Durga Puja. Am I right? No?
Can I say something?
Yes.
I'm from South India. In South India, they worship the 9 days. But only in Bengal, I came to know, they don't worship Durga Devi, not for Lakshmi Devi, but only Mother Saraswati, who is the mother of Narada Muni, they worship. So it's a surprise for me. So why only the last day of Mother Saraswati? So I have to find out. So
okay. Thank you for that also. Okay. So,
let.
Okay. So it happens, maybe in Bengal that is a tradition, they do some worship Saraswati. Maybe in Navadvip. Maybe not everywhere. But in Nepal also you can see that they're worshipping Durga in Nepal. And there is one huge river. If you enter from the from Siliguri, you will, and if you happen to go today, you will see that by the bank of one huge river, thousands of animals, like maybe not cow. Cow is prohibited. The buffalo, goats, murgas, and pigeons. What's wrong they have done? You know, so you have to assassinate them on such a holy day, you know, in front of Durga. It's simply satisfying their tongue. You know, there is no scarcity of grain to eat. So bhuta drohena, this is envy towards these living entities for no reason. For no reason to maintain their body. So because of this offense, because of this sin, they have to go hell. They have to go hell. They will be thrown into hell. And the Raurava. And the Raurava. Raurava is a place you will be thrown. I mean, they will be thrown, not you. The devotee has a special license. Devotees have special license. And Yamaraj said to his Yamadutas, to his servants, that don't go to devotees. No. You can't go to devotees. Prabhuraham anyanrinam na vaishnavanam. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am in charge to punish other people, but not devotees. Devotees are my lords. Yamaraj says. So for us there is no need of description of hell, actually. We don't need to discuss hell. Because Yamaraj is not concerned about us. Haribol. So we are free. We are free to go in the street and chant the holy name and dance and chant and eat Mahaprasad and Haribol. One day we'll be gone. Hopefully back to garden. If not, as Srila Prabhupada mentions, we will join the Lord's pastime in some another planet, possibly. So it is all for the other people who are not devotees, who are not concerned about spiritual life, and to maintain their body and family, they are envious of other living creatures, and therefore they are going to hell. Well, Parikshit Maharaj was very much. In anxiety, hearing all this description of hell, you know, we will be hearing this description of hell next, you know, maybe couple of weeks, if not more. And Parikshit Maharaj was hearing all this from Sukadeva Goswami, and he was so much concerned. And then he requested, "Aduniha Mahabhaga Yathaiva Naraka Naraha Nanugrana Yatana Neya Tanve Shamsitumarhati." My dear Gurudev, you have described so much about hell. Now please describe describe one thing by doing or by executing which one may not go to hell. One can avoid going to hell. So Sukadeva Goswami immediately replies, and he gave step by step answers. First he says, well, whatever one have committed sin, he must have to atone for that. He have to go through prayaschitta. Dhruvam savayipetti narakanupaiti. If before dying one does not atone, go through the atonement to nullify all these sins, then he must have to go to hell. And then Parikshit Maharaj was not still satisfied with that. But what's the use of doing atonement? In Christian community also they have, Srila Prabhupada mentions here, that they do confess, whole week they do something or so many other things. And then once a week on Sunday, they go and confess, and then next week the same. So Manye Kunjara Shaujava Parikshit Maharaj immediately gave an example. That kind of thing is like elephant wading. Elephant likes to take bath in deep water, hours and hours. He will enjoy bathing. But then as soon as he comes out, he throws dirt on his body. So what's the use of his bathing? So no use. Prayaschitta mato partham manye kunjara shauchavat. His prayaschitta, his atonement is just simply useless. Because next day he will do the same. He will get into the same business. So that will not work. And Sukadeva Goswami goes to the next step. He says, tapasa brahmacharyena samena cha damena cha tyagena satya shauchabhyam yamena niyamena va. So then you have to go to tapasya, brahmacharya, yama, niyama, asana, pranayama. Satya shaucha, be truthful and remain pure, all these things. And practicing yoga. By this, one gradually be free from the sin. And this was not also the ultimate answer. Parikshit Maharaj was trying to have something really quick remedy. So Sukadeva Goswami describes, by doing all these steps, one can burn the sin just like you put a fire in a dry grass and immediately burns into ashes. Benu gulba ivanilaha. And then finally, Sukadeva Goswami comes to this point. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agham dhunvanti kasnena niharami vabhaskara. Some people practice this, kevalaya bhaktya, with undeviated devotion. Vasudeva parayana, being totally engaged, fully engaged in the service of Vasudeva, Lord Sri Krishna. Agam dhunvanti, they destroy their sin totally, entirely. Just as the fog is gone, as soon as sun comes out, the fog is gone. Similarly, those who practice devotional service, their all sinful reactions are gone. And then he gives the story of the history of Ajamil. That we know, right? We've been hearing of Ajamil. So Srila Prabhupada comments on this this text, quoting from 10th canto, Yashyatna Buddhi Kuna Petri Dhatuke. One who thinks this body of three elements. What are three elements? Mucus, bile, and air. Kapha, vata, pitta. Right? to be his self. You know, this body is me, and my, whatever belongs to me is mine, of that, and going to the holy places and taking baths, and worshipping his own birthplace. You know, we celebrate birthday, right? Whatever birthplace. Yeah? We celebrate birthday, happy birthday to you. Yeah? So whatever birthplace, there should be something done with the birthplace. My birthplace is so great. Huh? Of course, there is a statement in Ramayana, Lord Ramachandra said, Janani Janma Bhumischa Swargadapi Gariyasi. Lakshman was so impressed with the in Lanka, so in a golden Lanka, so nice, you know, my dear brother, look at this, you know. But Lord Ramachandra said, Apishwarna Mahi Lanka, Nami Lakshmana Rochate. Lanka may be made of gold, but I don't care. it's nothing for me. Because our birthplace, you know, my birthplace, Ayodhya, and my mother, they are great for me. Janani Janma Bhumischa, the mother who gives you birth, and the place where you take birth is greater than heaven. If you become Krishna conscious. The mother who gives you birth and gives Krishna conscious, makes you Krishna conscious, and the land where you take birth become, you know, helps you become Krishna conscious, that's great. You know, that's Vaikuntha. Of course. So, but if one cannot become Krishna conscious, well, simply worships his place of birth, and he's going to take bath in the river, but no associating of any saintly people, then he is Saeva Gokhara, he's as good as ass or cow. Lord Krishna is speaking this. This is the statement by Lord Sri Krishna. From 10th canto, where in Samanta Panchaka they have a gathering, big gathering. All Dwaraka Vasis came, Brajavasis came, you know, many great rishis came, and all the celebration was over, and at the end they were discussing about, you know, something. So Lord Krishna came up, and he stood up and he spoke. Nahyam mayani tirthani na deva mritsilamaya te punanturukalena darshana deva sadhava. The water is not the pilgrimage place. The deity is made of earth, made of clay and stone. It's not the deity. There's a clear clarification. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that by saying water is not pilgrimage, it doesn't refer to Ganga's water. Ganga and Yamuna water, they are great. Great. By touching, you get purified. But other lesser kind of pilgrimage, it refers to the lesser pilgrimage. And saying that the deities of clay and stone are not the deity, it refers to demigods, murti, you know, like in Durga Puja, they make the deities, and they finish their worship, and then they go and throw in the river. So, but Lord Sri Krishna, Krishna's deity is, you know, the non-difference from Krishna. So, there's a different effect of having Lord Krishna's deity. So, the benefit of going tirtha, going pilgrimage, is to associate with devotees and learn from them. Just in the morning we see the other pilgrimage, they sit down and one devotee instructs them about the holy name and about the holy places, holy tirtha. And so they accept and chant at least one round of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And they buy some books, they buy some, you know, posters. It's nice. This is how we have to cultivate the pilgrimage, the visitors to come. It's very nice. But those who want to immediately go out and don't take the advantage of chanting the holy name and the association of devotees, so their pilgrimage is have no value. So the so as I mentioned in the beginning, for the devotees, the description of hell does not matter, because we have taken shelter of a pure devotee such as Srila Prabhupada and have accepted the procedure, the matter he have given, and we have tilak and kantimala, tulsi beads in our around our necks. So Yamaraj says, jivva navakti bhagavad guna namadheyam. One who is not chanting the holy name with his tongue, the holy name, Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and chetasya no smarata tat charanaravindam, and with his mind, if he does not remember, does not think of the lotus feet of Krishna, Krishnaya no namati yat sira ekadapi. The one who comes to the temple and he does not bow down his head at the lotus feet of Krishna to offer his respect to Krishna, that kind of person is eligible to go to hell. So Yamaraj says to his servants, bring them. Tanana yadvashato grita vishnu krityan. They are asat. They are materialistic and they have not done any pious. Bring them here. Hari Bol. So therefore it is our duty as devotees of ISKCON, yes, international society, because the other sampradayas are not preaching very much. Ramanuja Sampradaya. They have big mutt, big temples, big shrines, but they are not going out and preaching and distributing books, or they might be doing something smaller. But the ISKCON is one who is preaching, going out, distributing books, having programs, having seminars, having classes. So it is obvious that it is our duty now to spread this the message of Bhagavatam, spread the message of Lord Chaitanya, and make devotees in every town and village of this earth. Prithivite ache yato nagaradi gram sarvatra prachara haive morunam. He have foretold this already. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, there will be amazing temple here, so it's happening. Right? And Lord Chaitanya says there will be the holy name all over the world, every town and village. So it is happening. But we have to still move forward. There are still many, many other places where holy name has not reached yet, where devotees has not reached yet. So, from Mayapur there are 10, 12, buses are going every now and then for book distribution. So many places they are just flooding with the area with the books. Yes, Abhay Prabhu. Yeah, he just returned from book distribution. So it's going on, but we cannot just sit with keeping hands on hands. We have to move forward. We have to get this the message to everyone. go out and preach. Take any situations, Rath Yatra, Janmashtami. I was in Nepal in Janmashtami. I just returned from USA and they called, "Oh Prabhu, you have to come for Janmashtami." I couldn't say I'm tired, I just had to go. They have been waiting for me. Any situation we have to get there and spread the message of Lord Chaitanya. And make them chant, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." So in this way we can please Srila Prabhupada and be the instrument in his mission. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Can you explain something to me that's at the end of the text 6, at the end of the purport? It says that Yamaraj puts the sinners in hellish conditions and they're suffering, and that brings them to Krishna consciousness. And I don't quite get how that happens. He brings them to the hellish planets and properly chastises them to bring them back to Krishna consciousness.
In the purport or translation?
The last part of the purport of text 6. Five lines above the end.
Yeah, he brings them to the hellish planets and properly chastises them to bring them back to Krishna consciousness.
I can't see how that will...
It is possible because he is one of the Mahajan. He is one of the Mahajan. Among our 12 Mahajans, he is one of them. So he can train them up in Krishna consciousness. He can. But the sinner has to accept that he is going to take Krishna consciousness. Because they are so blind, the sinners are so blind, they don't know what is next. What is there for my well-being to be done? They don't know. If they have any information, Yamaraj probably could, lovingly train them up, become devotees. Because he's a Mahajan, he can do that. In case of Vidura is incarnation of Yamaraj. He came here to preach. He couldn't do that there. he could have done that in hell. So he has to come and preach. He likes preaching, but he has to come and preach here. But the hellish condition, the atmosphere in hell is such that you can't think of Krishna there. If you think Krishna, then you'll be going back immediately. So, Prabhuji, you want to say something? Prabhuji was giving hand.
I was just wondering if there is a reference within Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra for your last comment, because I had heard that the process of bringing the living entity to Krishna consciousness through punishment in hell is an indirect process whereby they realize the nature of what they've done wrong. As Prabhupada indicates, over thousands of times that they go to hellish planets for so many different sins. I was just wondering if you could point me into a direction where I could learn more about how Yamaraj actually directly indicates Krishna consciousness to the fallen soul.
Not exactly. I don't remember any reference like that. But it just seems obvious that Yamaraj is being a Mahajan. If he sees somebody is purified and is eligible for Krishna consciousness, he could probably give Krishna consciousness to him.
I was wondering, could you read that verse about the Rarava planet again? I just want the last long, verse you read.
Long one?
No, the last one you read about a man who's very, very attached to his wife and his children and his family, and he's working very hard, and he's that verse.
Text number 10 you're talking about, right?
Yeah, the last one you were talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, translation. A person who accepts his body and as his self works very hard day and night for money to maintain his own body and the bodies of his wife and children. While working to maintain himself and his family, he may commit violence against other living entities. Such a person is forced to give up his body and his family at the time of death when he suffers the reaction for his envy of other creatures by being thrown into the hell called Raurava.
Hi. So, my question is this. This description in the country where I'm from, the United States of America, is a description of a very good man. Okay? Mm-hmm. In my country, the man has a family and he works very hard and he takes care of his wife and his children. And maybe on occasion he might have to do something that's a little bit, you know, not so nice. Anyway, and he works hard for his wife and children. This is a good man.
Reliable man, right?
Yeah, in my country. So my question is this. Is there anything culturally specific about these, hells? In other words, does one get... You know, in like I said, in the United States of America, a man would be very much encouraged to work like this. And the whole culture encourages him to work like this. There's nothing else but this. This is considered the goal of human life. This is considered what one should do in life, like that. So why would... My question is does he... Is there any leeway, any break given by Yamaraj for someone who's born in such a culture? Is these things taken in consideration? Or is it just, well, you broke the law, and now you get the punishment? Now, I can understand for somebody who's born in a Vaishnava culture, if he goes down this path, you know, in a really crazy, one-pointed way, then it might be considered very sinful. But I'm talking for somebody who's born in other cultures and who do not have this information.
The Western culture, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in a few places, it is spiritually blind. Materially well-doing, but spiritually blind. So, andha yathandhai upaniyamana. The leaders are blind, they don't have information of spiritual life, and they are leading the society, and you know, they're making everybody blind. So in blind situation, you think, I'm so good, I'm doing really well. You know, I'm working hard, maintaining my family. But then when you can't come to the real sense, and that is nothing actually. Yeah. When you come to the real sense that you are missing something, and all that becomes insignificant. So the Vedic culture has, from the beginning it is given, you know, the spiritual aspect is emphasized, and it is, they were given that they should go, move along with life, you know, with the spiritual sense.
I understand that, but what I'm talking about is a man who does not come in contact with Vedic culture. There are many people who are dying on this earth planet who have no contact with Vedic culture, yet at the same time, they are acting in a way that they think is full of integrity and not sinful, but here it's described as being sinful. So they think it's the highest piety. So do they go to hell if they think they're doing the highest piety, or is there a break given, or that's the question I'm asking. Someone who's not in contact with Vedic culture.
I know, it's, see, in every society have kind of culture. It may be Asur kind of, Asuri culture, or maybe, you know, some other kind of culture. They have some kind of culture. Even the demons have their own culture. You know, they behave a certain way. So American have, you know, or the Western culture, the countries have their own kind of culture. They behave such a way that they, by doing so, they feel great. You know, they are considered great. You know, and so I guess to give them a break, then Lord Chaitanya has a plan. You know, to send somebody and just shower ahaituki kripa, you know, causeless mercy. You know, by only causeless mercy they can come back, you know, come to contact to a pure devotee, you know, and be able to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Just for causeless mercy. So that was destined time. The time was destined that this time only you will get causeless mercy. So that time has come, the time had come, and so many of the what's called, hippies or mlechas became pure devotees with their causeless mercy. And we are in the same line. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. No? Okay.
One really quick question then. We've got a big universe here. At this time, Lord Chaitanya has come for the whole universe. Is that correct? Am I wrong or right?
Say that again.
Has Lord Chaitanya come to allow everybody in this universe back home, back to Godhead?
Yeah, that was his mission. Everybody should go back to Godhead. That's why he said, "Say everywhere should be my name, the holy name should be preached." Sarvatra prachara hoye bina. That's what he wanted. Everybody go back to Godhead. As Lord Ramachandra, when he went, you know, he finished his leela. Whoever was at that time, everybody went back to Godhead, you know. And similarly, there was another who was it? Ambarish or some other king. When he left, all the citizens went back to Godhead. So Lord Chaitanya wanted everybody to go back to God. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.